You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If you want an e-bike that doesn't look like it's made for the shopping precinct, something that's less Mr. Bean and more Steve McQueen, check out the range of bikes from London-based Cooler King. From dope 250-watt city bikes to Harley Bobber-inspired 750-watt beasts that can tear your face off while leaving your smile intact. Cooler Kings are made in limited numbers, yet highly affordable. Check them out now on the web at cooler.bike or find them on Instagram with hashtag CoolerKingBike. Cooler.bike. E-bikes that are cool AF.
There wasn't a single world-class player. Robson was barely fit. You know, it was just a terrible time.
So what is that? 19...
Oh, that would have been 1989-1990.
I love that. Let's just have a bit of a throwback to the good old bad days.
It's bad, but you know what? It's been a lot worse.
Yeah, there you go.
To your point, I don't think they are going to sack him. The only way he goes, you know, is if he walks. And I don't think he's going anywhere, because what are they going to do if they sack? What I do think will happen is Woodward needs to pull. He knows that there's too much attention on this and he needs to pull something out of the bag. He can't pull a signing out of the bag because the window's too far away. Wouldn't surprise me if they rush some sort of botched appointment for a director of football, you know, get Rio Ferdinand in next week or something stupid like that. He will do anything to take the attention away from this, to buy himself another few weeks. I don't think they're going to sack Ollie, because I don't know if you've looked at the stats on how many staff have changed since Mourinho. So if you look at the backroom moves, it's something like 9 staff have
left. Yeah, but it's all been done on the cheap. It's all been done on the cheap.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what this structure is they're putting in. Obviously, Nicky Butt's now first team development coach or head of development for the first team. There's lots of appointments that have gone, and Quinton Fortune's there. Obviously, the goalkeeping coach has changed, the fitness coach has changed. You know, Michael Clegg's back at the club. So there's lots and lots of appointments. I don't know how good or bad any of these people are. None of them appear to be big names, but I think they've changed a hell of a lot, because if you were thinking, enough's enough, I've got to get a manager, the only obvious available manager is Allegri, I think. He's going to come in and say, okay, and I want to bring 5 of my backroom staff in. So, you know, even though they're all on limited money, Woodward's still going to have to pay out as part of, I don't know, 7-8 million to get rid of all these people. Then he'd have to get rid of probably Phelan as well, because no one's going to want him hanging around if it's a new coach. And then the coach is only going to turn up and say, by the way, you need to invest 400 million in your first team if you're expecting me to turn this around. So I don't think Woodward wants a manager in there that's going to be as demanding. So I think Ollie suits him.
Okay. On that note, welcome to the Manchester United Red Cross. I just hit record because Nav was telling a really good anecdote about him and my dad going to watch United in the 80s and how shit it was. It was before I was born. So, you know, right now, this is the worst United team. I'm trying to think back to, you know, Fergie mid-2000s, like when... Do you remember? Do you know what? There's one game that turned it for me then, and that was when we beat Chelsea 1-0 at Old Trafford. Darren Fletcher scored that looping header. That is when I felt, you know what, we're sort of on our way back. It was the turning point completely. Because before that, we'd seen Cleberson, Jemba, Belly on, Tim Howard, you know, basically a very sort of sketchy recruitment plan, an attempt to do things on the cheap. You've seen the emergence of Fletcher come through. Obviously, up front, we had Rooney, Saha, Van Nistelrooy, Solskjaer was still lurking around. What the difference was back then, Nav, compared to now, is that we signed one player that following window. That player was Michael Carrick, and he made all the difference, and we won a Premier League title. We won a Premier League title. Now, people are going to turn around and go, Chelsea weren't the same beast, blah, blah. We, you know, I think it took us to what? I think there was only, what, two games left? I think we had to play Chelsea next at Stamford Bridge, and then we had the game at Old Trafford against West Ham that season in 06-07 when we won the league. But one player turned it around for us. Right now, we are 6 to 8 players away. You know, with all due respect, Marouane Fellaini scored, you know, I think, what, 27, 28 goals for Manchester United. He would have done a job for us today. Fellaini would have done a job for us today. I've never seen a United strike force this bad before. Even in 06-07, going back to that, we had Smith injured. You know, Saha had plastic knees or paper knees. We had Rooney up top. But you know what? You had someone with the foresight to go and go, we can poach Henrik Larsson for 3 months. Let's go and get Henrik Larsson for 3 months. Let's go and try and bring someone in like, on the quick time. Let's go and do that. And they went and did that deal. Right now, you're sitting there and you're thinking, shit, who's making these decisions? One, B, who's backing Ollie? Three, what is his obsession with running our socks off? And four, how does he see something different to us there? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, look, I mean, okay, the first thing I'd say is, and it's probably going back to the conversation we had just before we started this, is that it is terrible. It's as bad as I've known in the post-Ferguson era. But when I stand back and look at the historical context, it isn't as bad as I've known. Anyone who watched United in the 80s, in the 70s, has seen worse. If you're asking me for what's the worst strike force I've seen, it certainly isn't Rashford and Matter as it was today. It's probably Peter Davenport and Terry Gibson, because you had no pace.
All my time,
you had no ability. You had
I've watched Zhuo up front for us before. I've watched Dong Fang Zhuo. We're having a Menucho. Where's Angelo Henriquez? Yeah,
back in Chile, I believe. But look, one signing isn't going to make a difference right now. The question for me is, and they're being very quiet on this, what was the expectation for Solskjaer this year? You know, did Ed Woodward agree with him that this ship needs turning around, it's going to take 2 or 3 years, we are going to accept you dropping out of the top six, finishing in mid-table because it's all for the greater good in the long run? Or did they seriously believe going into this season that we are credible challengers for the top four? Because if that was their belief, then they have completely cocked it up. They've blown that already and we're not even out of October. If they are prepared to accept a much longer period of time out of that top four and use 2 or 3 windows, because believe me, I look at that team right now and I think you need a minimum of 5 first team regulars to be added to the existing group of players before United can even think about challenging for a top four place. Forget about winning the league or getting to the level of City or Liverpool, because for that, I think you need to find that X-factor player or 2 or 3 of those. You need world-class quality. Right now, I'm looking at what I would consider to be mediocre to good Premier League players, and I think they'd improve us. Oh, you know, I saw the
mediocre to good. Let me tell you something. De Gea would get into a lineup. Dallow wouldn't get. Whose lineup would Dallow get into right now? Tell me a lineup Dallow would get into. You know,
Maguire
and Twan Zabi, fair enough. Twan Zabi's, you know, left back fucking Ashley Young. Ashley Young again. Again.
Yeah.
Tell me a club, bar Watford, who have got possibly the shittest back line in the country, who have got a worse left back than Ashley Young. McTominay, Fred.
The next time Jose Mourinho is interviewed by any media institution, I want someone to say, talk me through the process of signing Fred. What did you see? Show me the scouting report that said, this is a midfielder you need to go and pay £52 million for. This is a midfielder you need to move on quickly. Show me the scouting report. Give me the name of the scout. I'd love to know whose incompetence that signing was based on, because, I'm the first person to jump on the bandwagon and blame Ed Woodward for everything that's gone wrong at this club. But someone in the club gave the go-ahead on that signing. And I honestly don't believe that was Ed Woodward saying, I found this guy in the Ukrainian league. I think we should pay £52 million for him. Whether that was Mourinho, whether that was the head of scouting, head of performance, or whomever, I'd love to know who signed that player and why.
Look, we don't have good luck with Brazilians, yeah? Our luck with Brazilians is a shambles. And the next one to come on to is Pereira. Again, flattered to deceive, tried a couple of balls here and there, but just offered nothing. Mata.
I agree. He offered nothing. He offered nothing, but right now, who are you going to put in? You know, Gomez. I don't see those other options.
Give Gomez. You can put Gomez in. Onto the ball. He could do something. You know, Mata, I'm sorry. Mata looks like a. If he was a horse, he'd be dead by now. He'd be shot. They would have shot by Mata.
Mata he's physically not up to it. He hasn't been up to it for the last 2 years at the Premier League level. He hasn't got the pace. He hasn't got the power. He gets knocked off the ball too easily. My fear for Gomez, my genuine fear is, I think it's great bringing it out. You know, Angel Gomez in a successful and settled side. That's when you'll see this player develop. If you bring him in today in a side that cannot hold the ball, that is frequently under pressure, that is outpowered by most sides, I think you're setting him up to fail. I think you will just end up a bit like with what we're seeing with Chong right now. There was, you know, one of the best prospects we've seen in our youth teams, ripped it up at youth level, under 23 level. He looks like a man completely devoid of confidence because he's coming into a struggling team. It's the worst possible environment to bring kids on. Everyone keeps going on about the class of 92, but let's not forget, around the class of 92 were still some very, very high quality operators. You still had Roy Keane in midfield. Yeah. You know, you had good quality players in that squad that you could integrate the youngsters with. Currently, we don't have that. We haven't got that base of quality. You mentioned probably the two or three players that I believe are quality, you know, which is Maguire, De Gea. I would argue that Wan-Bissaka would still be one of the best right-backs in this league. But beyond that, I'm genuinely struggling. I mean, I watched the Southampton-Chelsea game earlier on in the day. There was two or three in that Southampton side that genuinely I think it would be better than the lineup I saw today. You know, if you want a winger, go and get Nathan Redmond. You know, he's better than any wide player we've currently got in the club.
God,
has that stunned you into silence?
Yeah, I mean, can I just say Twan Zabi again? You know, fair play.
He's got potential. He looks good. You know, he's been asked to do a lot. He's played across the back four. The guy's a centre-back. You know, let's just let him develop as a centre-back. I can't see it's going to improve his development by sticking him in at left-back, putting him in at right-back.
No,
you know,
because we're Man United. Whenever we have a prospect, we boost them up and call them, oh, this is the best crop since the class of 92, but they end up playing out wide somewhere. Right back, left back, left wing, right wing. One of the four.
Exactly. I mean, I've heard so many players hyped over the years. You know, I think Rio Ferdinand once compared Lionel Cole to Xavi and Iniesta. Now, this guy's struggling to pick up a non-league team at the moment, Lionel Cole. You know, Ryan Tunnicliffe was the next Brian Robson. Well, you know, I don't know what he's showing these days in Fulham reserves or where Blackburn reserves, wherever he's languishing. You know, I think that is that's a habit of the club, and, it, and it's a bad habit that seeing things that happen in under 23 games seems to be gospel for this guy's going to make it. I don't think, you know, Greenwood, Chong, Gomez, none of those are capable of saving our season. And the only way we develop them is to build a side to which they can integrate. You know, right now, bringing them in, we're expecting them to perform. I mean, you know, Ferguson and his record for bringing on youth players was fantastic. But let's face it, the majority of them were getting minutes in the League Cup and then minutes when United were generally cruising in the second half, 3 or 4 nil up, perfect time to give someone 20 minutes and let them show off.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the main question I have, again, is Solskjaer let go of Lukaku, Sanchez, all these different players, but surely he's not naive enough to turn around and go, yes, this group that we've got, basically what, 12, 13, 14 first teamers plus 5 young recruits is going to see us through till minimum January. You know, this just seems like negligence on a whole from the people above Solskjaer, whoever this recruitment team are. I mean, that was the biggest thing. It actually felt, to be fair, in the summer, or before the summer, you know, when we saw those the disgraceful results, you know, the last few games of the season, especially that defeat against Cardiff, that shit was going to change. You felt that Solskjaer had actually taken the grip of something. And he, you know what? I'm going to change it. I'm going to do it my way. But ultimately, he's just basically turned into another puppet, another yes man, another just keep plodding along, keep, you know, ticking over. Today, I put on Twitter, do you know what? I'd love to see him come out and slate everyone. I'd love to see him have the balls to come out and slate everyone, but he won't. He won't because he's ticking over and he's too nice and he's nice Ollie and he's the baby-faced assassin and the smiling assassin and the one they all love and all that. Even in this interview, I'm sorry, I've interviewed managers from Warnock to Guardiola to Mourinho to whoever. I will tell you something for free. That interview with Sky, the interview was presser questions. Usually you get 4 questions. That interviewer interviewed, what they asked him about 7 questions and he offered nothing. He offered very little to nothing. It was
the thing is that, yeah. I think, look, Solskjaer has now got himself into that. I don't think anything he can do is necessarily going to turn it around. What surprises and shocks me really, and I think, again, we get back to the root of the problem is, Solskjaer's struggling. He can't bring any more players in till January. We all know that. He has nothing else in his squad that's going to dramatically change his fortunes other than playing kids. Who's out there protecting him? Why isn't Ed Woodward or someone coming out and saying anything about this? You know, even if he came out and said, you know what, we were aware of this. We tried for X, Y, and Z striker. We couldn't over the line. Our fault. We're going to rectify this in January. I think that would ease a lot of concerns, but it's just deafening the silence at the club at the moment. No one's coming out and saying a thing. As far as Solskjaer's concerned, my opinion is if he comes out, does that, if he comes out and says, this is wrong, I wasn't backed, you didn't do this for me, he's just going to come off the same way Mourinho did, and we all know where that ended, because the minute, in my opinion, Mourinho started...
I'm sorry, he will get the chop either way, but it could be this week, it could be next year, next month, whenever, he will get the chop, because once Pochettino leaves Spurs, and I'll tell you something, the fact that Spurs are, I mean, let's be fair, they've lost 2 games in a week, they have been dick twice. You know, they've conceded 10 goals in a week. Yeah. We're not that bad. Yeah. They scored 2. So, you know, it's just like, you know, the scales of justice are weighing each other.
Well, yeah, but let's face it. They played Bayern Munich. We played AZ Alkmaar.
We played the former Dutch champions, I'll have you know. Yeah. But
yeah, who led them to that championship then, Aaron?
Louis van Gaal. We are kind of lucky that they're going through a crisis as well at the moment, because I think as soon as Pochettino is axed, there will be rumours about Solskjaer going because Pochettino is available. I'm surprised there haven't been more rumours about Allegri, although, you know, if you believe everything on the internet, you'll believe that Max Allegri is doing a Rosetta Stone to learn English at the moment because he wants the United job really badly. But
look, I mean, do you honestly believe Pochettino will be sacked? Do you know how? I mean, I don't think Levy is that stupid, frankly, because they're having a rough time. He knows full well that Pochettino on the market with no release clause could be very attractive for United or Real Madrid or any number of clubs. His release clause is something like 40 million. And I think Levy will sit on Pochettino until
Madrid
or United get desperate. So, yeah, everyone's playing their game. Poch
is playing a game, the game to end all games. If you watch him, his demeanor is like, basically, hey, got beat 3-0, don't really give a shit. You know, don't really care. He's got that demeanor about him now. And it's more of a case of when, not if. I think one of the two. Either he's going to walk or they're going to chop him, one of the two. And then I think the merry-go-round will very much...
ask you, and I don't disagree with you, I think you're right, he has got... there's something funny going on there. Knowing that, because that reminds me of Mourinho in his final weeks at the club, knowing all that, would you want him at United? Surely this only ends in the same way as Mourinho, LVG and everyone else. He comes in, he tries, he gets a bit of success or doesn't, and then when he wants to go, he manipulates an exit. Because the one thing I have to say about Fulcher...
All I want is a manager to be backed for the correct recruitment to take place for, you know... We haven't given Ollie a fair chance, let's be fair. The guy hasn't had a fair chance. Unless someone can turn around to me and say, I've got concrete evidence to prove that Solskjaer was behind everything in the transfer window. He fell out with Lukaku. Lukaku wanted to leave, and Ollie decided that he's not going to replace him. He's going to put all his faith in Rashford and Greenwood and Gomez and Chong and whoever else. Then fair enough, I'll go, you know what, mate, he's got to go. But right now I'm sitting here thinking, this guy needs one, at least two transfer windows to get it right. And to be honest, I wouldn't be surprised if United are firing bids off in January, left, right, and centre, and then we end up with nothing. Or we end up with Mandzukic on loan for 6 months. Or Ibrahimovic back. You know, we've got fucking Keisuke Honda DMing our club. Do you fancy giving me a game? Do you fancy giving me a game?
What a world we live in, eh?
we're turning into a job. I wanted Poch in the first place. After Jose, I wanted Poch really badly. And the fact that Poch is struggling at Spurs right now, that hasn't changed my opinion over whether I want Poch or not. I think Poch is struggling at Spurs because, again, they've recruited in a certain style. They brought in Ndombele, they brought in Lo Celso, they brought in Sessegnon. I don't think Poch picks a lot of the players, you know. And I don't think Poch picks the ones that he gets. And I think, you know, he's an excellent coach. He's an excellent, excellent coach. You know, he hasn't won anything, but fuck, we've gone down the route of won something, not won something. He's won this. He's won that many league titles. He's won that many league titles. You know, right now, the best possible situation is Fergie saying, fuck it, I'll do it for 6 months. I'll do it 8 months. Give it to me for 8 months. You know,
to me, the one thing I want to see, Aaron, really, is I want to see something serious happen in January. Because, look, the current form isn't going to improve a huge amount. Fine, we'll get Martial, Wan-Bissaka and Pogba back, which I think makes us at least competitive. But I don't think we're going to suddenly start ripping up trees and go on a 10, 15 match unbeaten run. I think we'll have a moderate upturn in results. For me, the killer will then be January. Do we bite the bullet and pay over the odds for a striker? Which you will in January. Whoever we go for, we have to accept. We're going to pay over the odds. They may not have been first choice, but right now, I don't think we can afford not to. So to me, let's see what the club does in January. If they're prepared to bring in a couple of first-team players, so not talking about prospects, not talking about, you know, the reserve winger from a Mexican second division side. I'm talking about two top line players that can play Premier League football, that can make a difference and be starters for United, which in fairness, that reserve winger in the second division side of Mexico probably could today. But if they do that, then at least I can see that we are trying to do something about the situation. If we go through a window and we get the whole, there was no value or we're waiting Flair X, we're waiting for Leicester to bend over and sell us James Maddison, then forget it. Because if the entire, you know, United recruiting department, which is a pretty considerable in size, I understand, in terms of the scouting network, if the best they can suggest is, I think you should sign Jadon Sancho and James Maddison, then we are going horrifically wrong. So I would expect them to be really making the inquiries now. And there is signings you can make in January. I mean, are you seriously telling me that if we went to Sporting Lisbon and were serious, they wouldn't accept a bid of 60 to 70 million for Bruno Fernandes? You know, there are players out there. I don't know if you've seen, but look, the hottest striker in Europe last year, Stefan Jovic, went to Frankfurt, to Madrid. He has barely started a game. So the rumour is that they want him out. They want him out already. He just doesn't fit the plans. The guy's, 21, 22 years old, ripped up the Bundesliga last year. Again, would they really turn down an offer if United went in there and agreed to match what they paid to Frankfurt, which I think was in the region of 50 million?
You know what? You're great and you know your shit. Yeah, it's great. Like, we know that. But what you forget is we're being run by a bunch of absolute numpties right now who will go and they'll start playing a game with Daniel Levy for Christian Eriksen and Toby Alderweireld and you know, Harry Kane, and going, oh, we'll give you £8.50 for Harry Kane. Well, Daniel Levy got £150 million. Well, we'll give you 60. Well, no. Well, yeah, no. Comes the deadline day and we're bent over 47, 50, 60, 70 million pounds for Christian Eriksen. Like, they brought in three players this summer. They let go of a lot more. To be honest, I'll be straight with you. I wouldn't let go of Fellaini or Herrera over Fred or over flipping Jones or players like that. Fellaini would have done a job for us. I'm sorry. He would have done a job for us today. Yeah. People could sit there and go, sorry? Yeah.
I think you're right. You know, the players that let go weren't necessarily the biggest issues at the club. But my view on this is simple. We let go players who we could get something for. You know, I think it would be wonderful to let go of Fred ahead of Fellaini, but you find anyone stupid enough to put a bid in for Fred. You know, unless you've got the world's greatest physio on your books, you're not going to sign Phil Jones.
The insurance wouldn't take it. I got a text right through the... In fact, I think it was when Longstaff scored. By the way, anyone think we're looking for the... We're looking at the wrong Longstaff, brother.
I say sign them both up. What a double act.
Yeah, absolutely. They're the new Jimmy and Brian, or Phil and Gary.
Going up like they'll be the new Jemba and Jemba.
Yeah, both of them. Someone asked me today, very, very stupid question, but would I take relegation if Woodward and the Glazers pass?
No.
Yeah, I probably would. The championship is fun. Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. It is good fun. It is a good laugh. I went to watch Millwall yesterday, and I'll tell you something. They were absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I'll tell you what. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back with more of your... with some of your tweets, some of your messages, and our polls. Sure. This is the Manchester United Redcast with myself, Aaron Ball, and him, Nav Singh. Catch you in a bit.
If you want an e-bike that doesn't look like it's made for the shopping precinct, something that's less Mr. Bean and more Steve McQueen, check out the range of bikes from London-based Cooler King. From dope 250-watt city bikes to Harley Bobber-inspired 750-watt beasts that can tear your face off while leaving your smile intact. Cooler Kings are made in limited numbers, yet highly affordable. Check them out now on the web at cooler.bike or find them on Instagram with hashtag CoolerKingBike. Cooler.bike. E-bikes that are cool AF.
Welcome back to the Manchester United Redcast. My name is Aaron Paul. Nav Singh joins me as we look back over United's 1-0 defeat at St James's Park against Newcastle United. It was a proper Sunday afternoon United performance, won it 4:30, getting a bit gloomy outside, a bit cold, and yeah, we were shit. Looking at it, I mean, social media, I'm going to be straight, it's kind of blown up. I'm really trying to work out. Well, Mark Higgins was in the away end. Basically, as you can tell, this show today has kind of got a bit, so we've got a bit tangential, as my old geography teacher used to say. We're getting a bit tangential out there, and that is exactly what we're doing. We're going off on tangents left, right, and centre. We're going to finish with the poll. But yeah, we asked for some of your four-word reviews following... four-word reviews. Four words and three. We have four words and... No. That was AZ Alkmaar. I didn't even bother reading them. Oh, yeah, by the way, just a side note on Alkmaar, Nav. That was fun, wasn't it?
another great day. I play a Thursday night game on the AstroTurf myself. I think the quality was pretty similar. To be fair, my team managed a few shots in on target.
Good stuff. Four-word reviews. Kessart says, this is a low... And then he comes back with the Ollie's at the wheel. Yeah, cheers, mate. Joey says, worse than David Moyes. Do you know what? I really enjoyed, I thought Moyes was fun. I thought the poor bastard got stuck under a bus. And I've met him a few times. He's actually a very, very endearing chap. But he got chucked under the bus. And we actually played attacking football. You know, that's the worst thing. David Pollard says, I only need one, dot relegation. That's five. Eddie said it's all Woodward's fault. BJB, keep the faith. Ian says we head for relegation. Blair says fucking fire Ollie now. Kessa's back, we're not going to read that. DJ Dacko, also known as David Allen, says next up Liverpool. Shit, yeah, that's true. Jonathan Anthony said relegation bet is on. Funny enough, United 100-1 to be relegated. We're 2 points off the relegation zone. And people are turning around to me going, oh, you're overrating, blah, blah. You know what? We've only won four games since March, like four league games since March. It's ever so slightly concerning. Any other interesting ones? Not right. Oh, my old professor from university, Hugh Richards. Hi, Dr. Richards. Keep your nerve for a little while and you might get Pochettino without paying compensation. Those suspect Spurs still have more sense and you'll end up paying through the nose. If you want to be popular in Wales, take gigs. Yeah, nah, I'm right, pal. Who else? Sanzip said, those who want him still at the wheels, please tell me why. Mate, the wheel's gone. Sanchez is gone. I put out a tweet actually earlier saying I would love it if Ollie slated him. Gareth said if he'd cared, he'd resign. And we don't think he's going to do that. Neve said, remember when Jose did that and everyone slated him? Sam said he can't slate the players when he has questions to answer as well. He's been all talk for months and no signs at all of what he talks about. And I think that's a fair point because, again, we're going to go back to the summer and say, you know what, ahead of the summer, I was actually really optimistic. I thought to myself, if we get in 5-6 players, you know what, we could be all right here. Plus the Twanzabies of this world, plus the Chongs and the Gomezes. But I expect them to be playing League Cup football. League Cup football, you know. But ultimately... the summer left a lot to be desired, Nav.
Oh, well, 100%. We spent all summer working on three targets, it seemed. We weren't able to bring in more than one player at a time. And I hear a lot of people saying, well, you know, you can't change 8, 9, 10, 11 players. Well, please, someone go and have a look at Serie A. Conte has overseen 11 new players in at Inter Milan, the top of the league. You know, they're ahead of probably the best Juventus side of their generation. And I believe they're playing tonight as well.
Yeah, see, I actually want to watch that in a bit, but yeah.
You know, going back to that point.
1-1.
You can, you know, people, I keep hearing, and people like Gary Neville, I think, are particularly bad for this. You know, Gary Neville clearly is a big Ole backer, saying you need four windows, you need five windows. No, you don't. If you spend the right money and get the right players, you could do it in one window. Are you telling me if United can... go out in January and sign world-class forward, world-class winger, two world-class midfielders, one world-class fullback to play on the left, that wouldn't make a huge difference It could. We won't do it. It won't happen. But you can do it. You can do it in one window if you are prepared to spend the money and you can move quickly on your targets and you've done your homework in terms of who you're bringing in. And I think all of those things, you know, when we talk about what we need to do, those elements are fixable. They're fixable within the club. They should have been fixed a long time ago. Don't know what they've been doing with this backroom restructure, repointing the club, new positions for everyone, new recruitment team. Well, let's see this then. Let's see this in action in January.
Yeah, definitely. Nav, I am convinced that I'm really convinced Ollie will be sacked over the international break. I really think that this is a chance for Woodward and Co. to do it. A lot of people, including yourself, thinking that, you know, I am wrong. Just looking at it, Dan says, Allegri, question mark. He's a Chelsea fan. He's a good pal of mine, Dan. And he said, the international break is as good a time as any. P, whose username is PMPMPMPMPM00, original, says, thinking the exact same, this is extremely poor. Scott says, seems like the time they do it, 2 weeks before the next game. Michael says, I fear you're right, mate. We actually had a bit of a poll as well. We put up a poll, and I wonder, Nav, if you can guess the result. I asked if you agree with me, is Ollie in for the chop, or is he still at the wheel? Just 248 votes. Tell me, how did you think it went?
I reckon 70% are saying the chop.
No. Still at the wheel, just won by 4%. 52% said still at the wheel. 48% said sacked. Ollie will be sacked. Look, I hope it don't happen. I hope it don't happen. But just we are in big trouble. Salford Buzzer said not yet. Three with Liverpool and three away games coming up. Then he has to do something. Gorton Red said, for all that used to slag Lukaku off, he left a 20-goal hole that he made no attempt to fill, so not really sure what we thought would happen. Rashford and Martial to all of a sudden become prolific when they never have been. You know what? I think that's a very salient point there from Gorton Red. You know, I think Gary Neville was making the same point. Lukaku, you know, he's a top Premier League striker. He scores goals wherever he goes. People slated me in his first season, said, you signed Lukaku, you signed a donkey. You know what? He scored 27 goals or something in his first season. It was absolutely brilliant. He was scoring them goals that, you know, we would miss. Those chances we'd miss, the scrappy goals inside the six-yard box that, you know, you just need someone to get a stab a toe onto. He'd score them goals. And we've lost, and we're missing them goals. That ball that Pereira put in, that James was chasing, are you telling me Lukaku want to go on the end of that? That would have been a goal, I'm telling you. Him or Fellaini would have scored that, one of the two. But we've let both of them go. And I know Fellaini, everyone's going to sit there and slate him, but he scored some important goals. Think back to West Brom, when Alan Irvine was the manager of West Brom. Louis van Gaal was our manager. Fellaini tonking that in, coming off as a sub. You know what? He scored some goals for us against City, here, there, everywhere. And he got a lot of shit. Lukaku got a lot of shit. But you know what? They're gone now. We didn't replace them properly. I think it's a great point from Gorton Rednav.
No, you're right. I don't know how many times I've had to reference the transfer window. We clearly haven't replaced them, right? So again, I don't know who is making that decision. I don't know what the long-term plan is. You know, do they know the players they want? It wouldn't shock me to think that they don't know who they want. Which is why players haven't been signed. The club is just crying out for someone to be decisive on these things, to be really clear. These are the players I want. If you can't get these, here's the next list down. But we need players. You know, we need signings. You know, the quality simply isn't at the club, which is why I'm not quite in that space yet where I'm jumping on the get rid of Ollie right now. You can have the world's greatest coach in there, but he isn't going to teach Fred how to be a professional footballer.
Yeah, I'm gonna ask you a couple of questions now. A colleague of mine works that newfangled thing called The Athletic has said Solskjaer is insanely out of his depth. This team still has talented players, a lot of deadwood, but De Gea, Maguire, Pogba, Martial, Rashford, Wan-Bissaka, all incredibly talented. United have got to stop wasting their time. Do you agree with him? Or do you agree with Liam, who said Van Gaal had a philosophy, knew what he wanted, won the FA Cup and sacked. Jose, the most proven manager on the planet, wins two trophies and comes second and sacked. Ole has the worst squad I've ever seen from any top team, and people want him sacked. People behind the scenes have no idea. Which one? Who's right?
I'd go on the second view there. I go on the second view. You know, Van Hal was not a mug, despite the fact that he was a little bit crazy at times. He did have a very clear philosophy in terms of how he wanted the club to play, who he wanted to play that style of football. He didn't last. He didn't do whatever the board wanted him to. You can't tell me that Mourinho didn't know what he was doing. He did. He had very clear ideas. He gave his recommendations to the board. You know, it's been well documented about his need for a centre-back and various other demands he made, which simply weren't fulfilled. Now we get to Solskjaer, and all we've seen over that period of time, we have seen investment in terms of cash spent. I don't think it's been particularly well spent. You know, you think of the midfielders we've churned through in that time, you know, we could have had a midfield today of Schweinsteiger and Schneiderlin. But again, we've made really poor decisions around signings. You know, I look at all the signings post-Fergie. There's only a handful that you can genuinely say have been an out-and-out success. And, you know, even when I look at Pogba, incredibly talented, yes, but is he truly an out-and-out success? You know, when I think of a successful midfield signing, I think of Brian Robson, I think of Roy Keane, I think of players that played for 5, 6, 7 years, gave a high level of consistency, you know, Michael Carrick. Pogba is nowhere near that bracket in terms of what he's delivered for United. And this is, and you know, this is his, what, third season, fourth season? You know, he's you know, 4 years on, and we're struggling to even know where to play him. Do we play him deep?
Four years on, and we're still playing fucking Marcos Rojo. Marcos Rojo, the man we've basically tried to crowbar out of there, he's still there. And apparently was wearing the captain's armband for about 5 minutes at the end. You know, how I just don't know. Nav, let's look at the international break. For me, I can't really stand him because I get knocked out of momentum with work. But, you know, in 2 weeks' time, we were either being... We're playing Liverpool, man. We're playing Liverpool. And then we've got Partizan Belgrade, Norwich away, Chelsea away, Bournemouth away. And you know, I look at the games up until sort of early December. You know, bar Liverpool, Partizan away, we should be winning. Norwich away, should be winning. Chelsea away in the League Cup. You know what? It doesn't really bother me. Bournemouth away, we should be winning. Man United, Brighton at home, we should be winning. Sheffield United away, we should be winning. Villa at home, we should be winning. Up until December, we should be thinking, you know, that's where we're going to pick up points. Because then we have Spurs, then we have City, we have Everton. And then we have the Christmas period that comes in. It, you know, what are you looking at for the Liverpool game? I mean, all I can think about really is please don't let anyone else get injured. Don't let Maguire get injured. Don't get, you know, Rashford get injured.
The only hope for that game is that Wan-Bissaka, Pogba, Martial are back and fully firing. That could be an embarrassment. So we need everyone back. You're right. I mean, the worst thing that could happen to us over the international break is, to me, will be lose Maguire. You know, he's the one. I look at the rest of them, and frankly, you know, for an international break, we'll probably be releasing less players than we ever have done. Combination of injuries and loss of form. You know, are we saying that? You know, I know, I appreciate Lingard's injured, but I think he'd already been dropped from the England squad before he picked up his injury. Wan-Bissaka's not in there, and fair enough. England do have a lot of good right backs, but actually, looking at our players, who are the first picks for their nation? You know, Fred certainly isn't going to get anywhere near the Brazil squad. Fine, McTominay is the first pick, perhaps in a very weak pool of Scottish players. You know, the days are gone of us having the prime players at international football. Even
Sergio Romero has been dropped by Argentina. Oh, poor guy.
Terrible times. All these years of being a reserve keeper, and he's dropped now.
Yeah, exactly. Paul Serge. Just a bit of ticket information, a bit of housekeeping. Loads of hospitality tickets left over for United Liverpool, you know. Usually, it's just like the Lancashire package available, which is the one where you go off to the cricket ground before the game. But the Lancashire package is available. Red Cafe, number 7 at Old Trafford. What's number 7? Is that a new form of lounge, is it? Yeah, it is in the South Stand. there's a couple of private seat private boxes as well available. But interesting to know that. I'm on a couple of sort of ticket forums as well, and I've spotted that a lot of tickets are being returned here, there, and everywhere. So if you're a member or a season ticket holder, then definitely an opportunity to sort of gobble up some tickets. enjoy a bit of time off, pal. Enjoy a bit of United free time. Are you going to can I watch Cambridge United next week? Or
I am. I'm actually travelling up to Salford to see Salford Cambridge.
Very, very good. You know what? If I'm not working, I might join you.
Away in Cambridge for a nice cheeky weekend in Manchester. Relive the days of the 80s.
a dirty weekend in Manchester. Oh, by the way, tickets on sale to all supporters for Partizan Belgrade and AZ Alkmaar at home.
Now you're good, mate.
Yeah, I'm all right. Nav, thank you very much. Thank you to everyone who's got involved as well. In the show, I wish it could be a bit more cheerful, but it's just not. That is the Manchester United Redcast. Do tweet us at United Redcast. Thank you to everyone who makes it happen as well. Until next time, come on United, sort them Scousers out.
Thank you.
This is a Playback Media production. Get all the associated links for this podcast at unitedredcast.com.
Sports Social Podcast Network.